With me today is Melinda Cruz, CEO and founder of Miracle Babies Foundation and mother to three miracle babies. Good day, Melinda.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for your time. So today, Wednesday, you will be unveiling an important artwork at the New South Wales Parliament House, which is called the Miracle Flock. And the Miracle Flock is a tribute to premature babies?
Yes.
You yourself have experienced this, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've gone through the experience three times with our boys, who were all born early.
November 17 is Prematurity Day, World Prematurity Day. Closer to home in Australia, we have around 25,000 babies born prematurely, 48 newborns require specialist care, and 1,000 babies lose their fight for their lives. Can you tell me how important was the neonatal intensive care unit in your life for the past 15 years, if I'm not mistaken, or 14 years?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the birth of our first son, he came 6 weeks early. And, you know, first person, I've got a big family around me, but first person to have a premature baby and really had no idea or no concept of what that meant, what kind of care he would require. So I remember delivering him and basically, you know, him being taken away from me straight away to receive specialised care. And that's what these units do. Like, they're absolutely incredible. With our second son, he was born at 27 weeks, and he needed to be resuscitated when he was born. He spent 16 days on life support and then 9 weeks within the unit. So without the work that they do, you know, I wouldn't have my babies.
Because a lot of people see childbirth as a happy moment, so this must have been one of the most difficult moments of your life.
Yeah, it's really a time where you are feeling, you know, this incredible love and elation, and that's just coupled with fear and being terrified and feeling so much guilt. And, you know, it's really two big extremes of the emotion. And people talk about it being a roller coaster ride, and it really is. There's so many highs and lows as you go through the journey.
How did you feel when the first time when you were told that you were going to give birth prematurely? And were you able to hold your child?
I was terrified. So with my first one, I had a really quick look at him, but yeah, no, not able to hold him, and he was taken. With my second being born so early, I think if I try and remember, because I was in a lot of shock that day, but I try and remember, I think I got a glimpse of him as they, because he was already in the humidity crib and he was kind of wheeled away. And then it wasn't until I was able to get up off the bed and actually walk over to the unit and go and see him. But he was surrounded by a team of doctors and nurses who were, you know, putting lines in him and trying to get him stable. So it wasn't anything that I could actually go and watch and see what they were doing. So we were just asked to go and sit in another room.
Being a mother of three premature babies, every time you experience it at birth, is it something that you're able to prepare for, or is it something every time it's a different feeling?
The fear's the same. I definitely was scared every time. I think what was different for us was, you know, once you've been through it once or twice, the unit's the same. I guess the noises, the smells, the routine, you get an idea of what's happening. You're not so thrown into like a world that you don't understand. You actually do get that little bit of that concept. And, you know, I think I was able to get a little bit more confidence each time as a mum in terms of what the baby needed from me. And, you know, because you can't actually care for them, one of the biggest things that I could do as a mum was actually express and provide milk for the baby. So I was able to do that a lot easier the second and third time because I knew what I was in for and what needed to be done. So I think from that perspective, it's different. One of the things that does make it harder when you go a second or third time is that now you've got siblings that you also need to look after for those babies. And I was torn, you know, between trying to be at home for the ones that I had at home and then still trying to be at the hospital with the baby. And it really, I don't think people understand, you know, how much torment you can kind of, you know, go through in yourself trying to come back and forth and be there for your entire family.
And during this very emotional and stressful part of your life, or time of your life, how important was the support in hospital?
Yeah, so I definitely needed the support of like the doctors, the nurses, the allied health team, and then the other families that were going through it. I found that I really connected with them because we all understood all the challenges and you know, the emotional ride that we were all on. So I found that so important for us to be able to get through it. What was really lacking, I found, was once we went home and you were discharged, we just didn't have, you know, national services or any kind of program that you could really link into long term.
Because the challenge doesn't stop when you bring home your child, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we say. We kind of say, you know, it doesn't end once you get discharged and you walk at those doors. You know, it really brings new challenges and new things and new learnings of, you know, what your family looks like now. You know, it becomes part of your story.
And this is what gave way to your Miracle Babies Foundation?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was discharged, I was part of a program that the hospital ran, only with my second son because he was born so early and needed some more support. But that program, it was only resourced to last until he was 12 months. And then I was discharged from that. And I remember thinking, you know, he's only 12 months old. He's still not walking yet. He's still not talking. We're not on full solids. I still need more help. Like, I need a lot of assistance with him. And there was nowhere to turn. So I, you know, got on the computer and I was Googling, and I found that there was organisations in the US and the UK that existed, but nothing that was national here. And I found a small pocket at another hospital, and I thought, oh, they're doing something, you know, that can help support families. What if we did something like that at the hospital where my boys were born? So that's what I did. So I spoke to them about the idea, and it kind of grew, and it became, you know, this, because we were making impact and we were making a difference to families, it grew across the country quite quickly.
So Miracle Babies Foundation is built by the families.
Yeah, absolutely. So so there was about 8 founding mums that started Miracle Babies, and everything that we've done and designed for families has been done hand-in-hand with the health system and with the doctors and nurses and the allied health team. So we've never kind of done anything separate. It was really being able to provide that link for families and a way to keep in touch and feel supported through the journey.
And you completed the New York Marathon 2 years ago. Congratulations.
Yes,
not everyone gets to do that.
Oh, gosh. That was one of my board members actually dared me to do that. And, yeah, so I took on that challenge. And, you know, one of the reasons, obviously, was to raise awareness for the charity and to also raise funds. So,
and it paid off.
Oh, it did. You know, and one of the reasons I did say yes, because, you know, I've never, ever been a runner. But when Dylan, so he was my second one, when he was 2 weeks from being discharged in hospital, I remember asking one of the doctors, you know, what's our life like with him? We knew we were going to have some trouble with his lungs. And one of the things that he said to me was, you know, he's going to be okay. He'll live a normal life, but you may not expect this child to run marathons. And that just broke my heart. I remember him walking away. I didn't cry in front of him, but when he left, I cried for a long time. And it always stuck in my head. So when the offer came to run the marathon, I thought, you know what? I'm not going to ever put limitations on him, so I'm never going to put them on me. So I'm going to give it a go and prove to him that, you know, you can do anything if you put your mind to it and did it.
And 3 healthy boys.
Yeah,
two of them
absolutely.
One of them in the teens, one in nearly in the teens.
Yes.
And one going to tweens, as they say.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll have 2 in high school next year and 1 in year 6, almost there.
That is it, isn't it? They're miracles. And they're miracles because people help.
Yep, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And you have another miracle that you are working on, the Miracle Stork.
The Miracle Flock, yeah, absolutely. So on Thursday tomorrow, it will be World Prematurity Day. And one of the things that's really important about that day is just raising the awareness. Because most of the care happens in an intensive care situation behind closed doors, you know, the general community aren't aware of how big the issue is across the country. And if we just look at Australia, more than 25,000 babies every year are born premature or sick. And that's a massive number. So the way that we want to acknowledge that is we're going to install an art installation at New South Wales Parliament House, and it's going to house 2,500 handmade paper storks. each one representing 10 babies that will be born premature this year.
And that will go on until?
I think it's the 12th of December, so it's almost a month. It'll be on display in the foyer so people can come and have a look. And the other really great thing is that people can actually get involved and actually purchase or dedicate one of the storks in honour either of their miracle or their family or if they own a business. So they can jump on our website and actually purchase one.
And so if you would need help or know someone who needs help facing this, the same challenges that you faced many years ago, are you able to help them outside of New South Wales?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we run the organisation nationally. We have a program for families that we call our Nurture Program, and that consists of a 24-hour family line, in-hospital face-to-face support. So there's 23 neonatal intensive care units across the country that we work with, and also discharge programs. So we run like play groups that will support families from, you know, 0 to 6 when their children are ready for school. We also run the largest online community, so they can jump on our Facebook or any other social media site and connect with us. And we also have resources, so books, memory boxes for babies that pass, any other kind of assistance that they need, and that's definitely Australia-wide.
Thanks very much, Melinda Cruz from Miracle Babies Foundation.
Thank you.
SBS. 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 SBS Radio.